go ahead and be seated, but we're going to keep in this posture of prayer. And I want you to, in response to this song, particularly if you're in a place where it feels like a struggle just now, this journey of faith, is to reach back in to your personal or even the collective memory of your life, the collective memory of the life of the church, to moments where you experienced, you witnessed the love of God, the healing of God, God at work in your life, the saving power of God, the renewing or the redeeming, the strengthening power of God. Take yourself back to those moments. Remind yourself. Do not be a forgetter of what God has done, of what you've borne witness to in your own life. Dig back in there. There are times where I have to dig back in to the testimony of my life, the witnessed experience of my life, knowing what God has done, and to encourage myself in the Lord in that place of remembering. Remember me. Remember me. Remember me, says the Lord. And as you remind yourselves of what he has done, of what he did for you, whatever point you take yourself back to, now ask God to strengthen you in this memory, to renew faith, a strength to hold on. We will not deny what you have done for us in the past, what you are doing just now, and what you are yet to do in our lives individually and collectively. We will be strong and stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and in all that we have encountered of you in the past and the present and what is yet to come. We hold on in faith. We hold on in faith. We hold on in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hold on in faith. I love the way songs that our worship leaders choose so often tie in ways that I wasn't expecting with what I'm about to say. You know, we share a little bit in the week before about here's the direction we're going in. But every so often there's something that God just nudges in a worship leader to prompt a song, and the one that we just sang in some ways is the heart of the story that we're about to go to, kind of just heralded out in a song of someone who forgot, was so consumed by what was happening around him that he just forgot all that God had done. And as a result of that, he went under and silent and hidden. But God interrupted his hiding. And so we're going to go to Judges chapter 6 this morning. And this is the last in our Secret Place series, from the Secret Place series. And it's the story of Gideon. And we're going to just read through the first 18 verses or so and just walk step by step through it. And so let's go. If you've got a Bible, either in paper or on your phone, then turn to Judges chapter 6 and follow through. The words will be on the screen as well. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, they abandoned him. They did their own thing. They rebelled. They disregarded God. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for them in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. They went into hiding. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravish it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Now we're just going to pause there. and give some geographic context to this. I think it's impossible for us to read a passage that names Israel and Gaza and not pause for a moment. So on the screen, there should be a little PowerPoint, Josh, just to help us navigate where we are here. So this is a kind of map of northern Africa, the Middle East, and then round up towards moving into Europe. So you'll see Palermo, which is on Sicily, just at the bottom of Italy, then Greece to the right, Turkey, and then down Syria, and then you'll see Gaza and Israel. Gaza's the red spot there. And then Saudi Arabia down to the right, Egypt and Libya, northern Africa, round to the west. And then this little dotted triangle, rectangle that we have, if we can go to the next slide, we'll zoom in on that. And this then gives us a moment to look at the groups that we're talking about here. So the Amalekites were kind of a nomadic group. That is, they did a lot of traveling around, just setting up camps. But most often they were found in the southern part of Israel. And you can see in that map, Gaza to right on the coast, then Israel, and then the West Bank's the other dotted line there. And then Midian, which is oppressing and attacking Israel and Gaza, so they have a common enemy and foe. They've been decimated. Israel and Gaza, decimated. And it's not difficult for us to picture that in our minds anymore. And they came from that kind of northwestern part of Saudi Arabia, just before you would cross in over to Egypt. And the reason I'm showing you this is for a couple of reasons, if you can go to the next slide. Is that when we read the Bible, we talk about real people in real places who face very similar things to real people in real places today. Second thing is to say, as Christians, we read the scriptures through the lens of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we come to situations both in the here and now and also situations in the scriptures, we read them through the lens of Jesus and his life and his teaching. Because that gives a whole different slant on how we see things, interpret things, pray for things, what we should expect. And then I want to say, we are not pro-Israel or pro-Palestinian. We're pro-people. We're pro-people. Whoever they are, whatever the border lines cross their country, we're pro-justice and we're pro-peace because we're pro-Jesus. That's where we stand. And so before we go on to the story, which is really, while it's set in the backdrop of war, it's really a story about God's interruption of a man who doesn't know what to do in the midst of it all. It's God's interruption into a man who finds it easier to go hide than anything else. But while we name these places, as we read scripture, let's pause and pray for these places because they involve real people in real places both then and now. Lord, we pray for an end of destruction and of death. We pray for a release of the remaining hostages. We pray for immediate access of more aid, unhindered. We pray for hearts to be turned from war to peace, from hatred to forgiveness. We pray for the pursuit of present, future, and sustainable peace. And we pray for justice and rebuilding. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, this is a story about a backdrop of war, but it's really God's intervention with a man called Gideon. As God enters Gideon's hiding place and turns it into a secret place. We've been talking about the secret place as a place of closeness and intimacy with God. A place where we meet with God and God meets with us, where we speak to God and God speaks to us, where we sense His presence, where we give God space to work in our lives, to allow His grace to be at work within us. Closeness to God, fostering closeness and intimacy with God. And while Gideon was hiding, he was in a hiding place. God interrupted the hiding place and turned it into a secret place where he could meet with, talk with, and bring about transformation in Gideon's life. And so the Midianites had overcome and were oppressing them, and the Israelite people are in hiding wherever they can. But let's go on to verses 7 and onwards. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. So they began in their despair to call out to God, and God heard their prayer, and he sent them a prophet who said this. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land, the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord, your God. Don't worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you've not listened. And so God interrupts into the bleakness of all of this and says, don't you remember who I am? Have you forgotten? He begins not with some kind of angry reprimand, but a kind revelation. He steps in and he says, don't you remember me? Don't you remember that I'm the God who is your God, who led you out of Egypt when you were in slavery and captivity? Don't you remember that I'm the one who brought you out into a new place and a new space and new land? Don't you remember? That's why that song, whichever of you guys chose it, was so important. That need to remember what God has done. We've witnessed what God has done. And to remember, so that we don't get lost or go hiding, somehow disappearing off. God's first response is not angry reprimand, but kind revelation of who He is and who He is to us. Don't you remember? I'm your Lord. I'm the one who delivers you. Why are you worshiping other gods and other things? In whose land you live, the norms of society and culture. God interrupts all of this and says, this is who I am. Now return to me. Don't get caught up in the ways of the culture, the society, the world around you and all their gods. God's second response is a sad reminder. I feel sadness in the voice of the Lord of how they got here. Verses 1, verse 10 of this passage, they were doing evil in the eyes of the Lord and they were not listening. They were going to other gods and they forgot. And so they hid. But God wanted to reveal Himself to them again. He interrupted their hidden places because He wanted to make them secret places again. And some of us may have found ourselves retreating into hiding. And I want to say God wants to interrupt your hiding and turn your hiding place into a secret place to reveal to you, don't you remember who I am? Let's read on, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gibeon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. That's important to note. Normally when you do threshing of wheat, then you need a place that's up and out in an open space so that when you get your fork and you throw up into the air, what happens? The wind catches all the rubbish and moves it out, and what lands is the grain. But where do we find Gideon? We find him in a wine press, enclosed, hiding, where no one can see him, where the Midianites can't be there. He hides. It's no place for threshing, but that's the reality. And that's where God finds him, threshing in a wine press, in fear, hiding, withdrawing. He's practicing what feels like a spirit of scarcity. Escape, isolation, I'll just hide. But God sees him and goes to where he is, even in his hiding. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, verse 12, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That's interesting, isn't it? Don't look like it, Gideon. Doesn't look like you're a mighty warrior. And the Lord enters Gideon's hidden place with his withdrawal and fear and scarcity and isolation and hiding and running. And in that moment, he speaks a word to Gideon that is not at all probably what Gideon was expecting. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. For those of you who feel you may have ended up in a place of hiding and isolation, and God wants to say to you, don't forget who I am. Am I not with you? Am I not your God? I'm coming to your hiding place to turn it into a secret place again. The Lord is with you. He turns the hiding place to a secret place because he's there. His presence is there. His closeness. He wants to once again reinstate closeness and faith and intimacy where you're seen and settled in his presence. And to speak a word to you, I'm near. Come on, mighty warrior. Don't hide anymore. Don't withdraw anymore. Verse 13. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. From the Lord's statement of the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, that of presence and perspective. Come on, mighty warrior, I see something more in you than you see for yourself. God sees in Gideon what Gideon cannot see for himself, the potential of what Gideon was created to be and is yet to become with the Lord. God sees that even when Gideon doesn't. So when Gideon then initially doesn't understand the significance of all of this, he begins to point to all his disappointments, his discouragements, his disillusionments about his past, about who he is, about what he's like. He goes back to that rather than going back to God. He begins to catalog the things, the disappointments, the discouragements, the despairs of the past. And in some ways, that's all right. He was being honest before God, but this. And what had happened is that faith had been displaced in Gideon by disappointment and by doubt and by fear. Even now, blame. He says, well, God, you must just have abandoned us. Even though we read in the scriptures that it was the people who abandoned God, not the other way around. But he begins to bring before God all that disappointment, that sense of being abandoned, the despair and the discouragement. Faith has been displaced by doubt and fear. And that's a very real human experience. Imagine most of us, if not all of us, have experienced this very thing. The disappointment of life. Sense of abandonment. Our failures. Our struggles. Things haven't worked out the way we'd hoped. Our personal history. We feel holds us back. Things that have happened to us or things we've done. Or recent events. And they come like a fog and they cloud us and they cloud our mind and they cloud our heart and they cloud our faith. And faith is displaced by doubt and fear. And all of this, Gideon articulates. But God isn't finished. He doesn't leave. He doesn't say, "Oh, Gideon, I'm done. Aren't you listening to me?" He once again speaks to Gideon. Verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" I find that fascinating. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That's presence. Is then followed with, "Go in the strength you have." God doesn't wait for perfection before he calls or sends Gideon. He says, "Go in the strength you have. I'm with you." God uses the willing and the available. The willing and the available. And I wonder if too often we discount ourselves or dismiss ourselves or deny ourselves or remove ourselves from God and from God using us. Because we bring up before God our personal or even family histories or the way I've been. Ah, God could never use me. Go in the strength you have. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. His presence. But it's the willing and the available that God is able to use. Am I not sending you? You know, the reason we entitled this series "From the Secret Place" and not just "The Secret Place" is because that's the place we're sent from. And God interrupts Gideon's hiding place and he turns it into a secret place where he can speak life to him, remind him of the truth of who he is, remind him of the fact that he is with Gideon, and then remind Gideon of who he is and the purposes that he has for him. Mighty warrior, go in the strength you have. No more hiding. No more hiding. I'm sending you from the secret place. Gideon's not yet convinced, verses 15 and 16. "Pardon me, my lord," which is very polite. Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." What was God doing? Gideon's perspective of who he is was the weakest and the least. That was how he understood himself. That was his identity. He brought all the negative things of his life and of his past, and he constructed an identity around those things. Whereas God broke in and spoke a word to him that reminded him of who God saw him to be. That's what happens in the secret place. We get not only a sense of who God is, but then God begins to reveal a different perspective on who we are. He speaks words of truth to us that remind us of who we are in Christ. The fact that he is with us. And that no matter what we might say about our personal histories or even our family histories, the things that we have been or have done, or the things that hold us back because of our family or whatever it might be, whatever your historic narrative of your life is, God interrupts and breaks in and says, but I have a new story that I am writing for you and with you. God's perspective of Gideon is much more, mighty warrior, go in the strength that you have. I will be with you, and you will overcome. Now, let's be honest, Gideon isn't the only one. God did the same with Jacob, whose name means deceiver. He did the same with Moses, who fled, tried to escape. He did the same with Isaiah, who felt unworthy. He did the same with Jeremiah, who said he was too young. He did the same with Peter, because he'd failed. He did the same with Paul, who was an oppressor. He goes to the hidden places, and he turns them into secret places. What about you? What about me? Are we in a hidden place? Or are we allowing God to make it a secret place? Do you hear him this morning? Sometimes we hold on to and we have the unhelpful hold and power of the bad personal and family history, like Gideon. Oh, I'm the least. My clan is the smallest. But that's not who we are. It's not who you are. It's not who we are in Christ. Rise up, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you. What does it say in the New Testament? Let's all bring it back to what Christ has done for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're in Christ today, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you are what? A new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. That's who we are. That's who we are. Don't return to the hidden place. Let God turn the hidden place to a new secret place. The old has gone. The new has come in Christ. Breaking off the old identities, the old perspective, to enter our new identity in Christ. Who does God say you are? He speaks it. He speaks its truth in that secret place, reminding you of who he is and of who you are in Christ. And he takes our hiddenness and he brings us out instead from that secret place. And he sends us out. Go in the strength you have. One last word from God as we finish. Verse 6, 17 and 18 finish like this. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Isn't that amazing? I will wait until you return. For those of you who were here 6 weeks ago, this is where we started. We started with a story about a woman who, when she went to a new congregation for 6 months, all that she preached to them, all she sensed God was asking her to preach on was tell them I love them, tell them I love them, tell them I love them, until one day she said, tell them I miss them. God waits patiently, graciously. He enters the places we go to hide. Not to leave you there, but to turn it into a secret place so that he can strengthen you and he can send you out. Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. Worship team, would you come? The grace and patience of God. Where are you? Who are you? In this moment, if you've been more inclined to inhabit a hidden place, let God transform it into a secret place right now. Relinquish all those negative, unhelpful self-identities of the garbage of life. And instead, remind yourself, but the Lord is with me. And in his grace and patience, he turns this moment into a secret place. Intimacy with him, where he reminds me who I am. Would you stand with us, please? And so, Lord, in these moments of worship, remind us of who we are. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Go in the strength you have. See, he waits for you. Step in. Step up. So that as you receive this truth, you will once again step out. In Jesus' name.